Welcome to The Lumber Word, where industry veterans Matt Beamer, Greg Riley, and Ashley Buckholt dissect the world of commodity lumber each week. We bring you up-to-date insights on supply, demand, and market trends, sharing our trading expertise to benefit everyone in the supply chain. Join us for informative and entertaining discussions that guarantee to make you wiser about all things lumber.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Lumber Word. We're recording this on April 17th, 2024. Just returning from last week's Montreal Wood Convention. Matt's actually on the road down in Texas right now. We've got a really good show. I think, quite honestly, with everything going on and traveling and meeting everybody the last few weeks, this could probably be one of the better shows to listen to. And we're really going to, if you hang out till the end of this one, you're going to pick up on some information. So, Greg, thanks for showing up again. Matt, thanks for showing up. Anything you want to go over before we launch into this?
Take us off.
So let's talk about Montreal, Matt. I mean, really, look at it was fun. I got back. Greg and I downloaded on it Sunday in the office, and I will say this show, I probably had more meetings and spent less time on the actual trading floor than I ever have. It was great. So real quick, shout out to the Weston Forest Products guys. You know, Steve Rohn, Rob Ruby, and Steve Rustia for letting me crash their party on Wednesday night. And man, did those guys, those people do a great job. Again, thanks, guys, at Weston Forest Products. Matt, what was your takeaway from the show?
It was a busy show. There was a lot going on. There was a lot of people there. You know, I learned a lot. It's always good to go back and meet people that I haven't seen. I haven't been there for 13 years. So I got a lot out of that, reconnecting with some people I haven't seen for a long time. And I just had a very nice time. I met some people there for the first time that I've known for a long time, but I'd never met before, that I consider friends in the business. And I really enjoyed that also. So there was some good camaraderie. It was a good combination of Western people and Eastern people. It wasn't just all Easterns. And there was some Europe people there, and, you know, just a big, big show. I think it's kind of turned into sort of the premier event really for the lumber. For the lumber market, if you're willing to, you know, fly across the country. What'd you think?
No doubt. If I just look at kind of the market, we went into it in a kind of an uncertain falling price market. So I would say the tone up there, some people said it was middle of the road. It was not middle of the road from what I saw. People were concerned about production. Mills were concerned about selling. They may not have came out and said it, but I left feeling people were tipping to the bearish side, but weren't completely there yet. There was still some hope. It was great. Met a lot of people I haven't seen in a while. I mean, it's one of those things, you're walking through the lobby and you see people you didn't even realize were there. You didn't set appointments up with. And it just made me realize how much of a personal business this is, right? I had one person tell me, hey, just haven't bought anything from you yet because I haven't seen you in person yet, right?
He still hasn't bought anything from you.
That's true. Well, and you and I sat down at the end of the bar or restaurant on Wednesday night, and we chatted about a few things, and we chatted about this show in general, Matt, and how many people came up and said they listened to it, right? We saw a bunch of people up there. One of the guys from Viking, Steve Rouse, he said he listens to the show, had some suggestions on it. I saw Russ up there, Taylor. He had some good feedback from his show. Another shout out to our guy, Greg Paul Rousseau, Bruiser, NHL hockey player.
Yeah, got okay.
He's probably going to listen to this on the way in from his farm in the morning to work. And he said he listens to it and loves listening to it. Paul, great meeting you up there. Greg, what was your questions on Montreal?
So, I mean, you know, in the conversations that I have had since I came back and talked to people, hey, how was the show? Echoing what you and Matt have been talking about. Great show, a lot of people, general negativity about the current market conditions and the outlook, which really kind of surprises me and doesn't. I mean, if I look at, think of the first quarter, you know, first quarter was generally, you know, it was a kind of a good quarter for volume, for price movement, but we're all products of what's happened to us most recently. And the, I mean, the sell-off over the last 3 or 4 weeks has been pretty sharp. We can talk about that more when we get into, you know, some of the market stuff.
Well, so, you know, housing starts came out this week. You had highlighted a certain item. I sat down, and you're like, look at multifamily versus single family. Kind of explains a little bit about nine footers, right? And what was that stat, Greg?
For the first quarter of the year, single family housing starts are up 27.4% and multifamily are down 38.4%. Permits are kind of close. The permit number for multifamily is only down 25%. So, I mean, being down to almost 40% for a quarter of the year, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah, that is a big deal. And that also shows inventory at probably at locations of multifamily is not keeping right now, right? I said that terribly. There's probably less inventory in the ground for multifamily.
Hey, Camilla, you mean that? little word salad you got working there. Well, you know, you and I, we've been kind of talking about inventories out in reloads and whatnot, some of them being a little bit lower, and part of that being that there's not as much multifamily stuff positioned. I had a conversation today with one of my guys who said, hey, he hasn't written a new job since the third quarter last year.
Yeah.
And what he said was he's had a lot of work that was finishing up, but not a lot of stuff starting. Things are sitting on the sideline for multiple reasons. We had a record number of multifamily under construction at the end of last year. So there's been a lot of finishing up. In addition to that, you know, new stuff's looking at falling rents, higher interest rates. And then, you know, one of the things I talked about was right now, multifamily guys are in a bit of a conundrum when they look at their OSB.
Yes.
And OSB is so out of whack.
Look, a great point. So I've heard this from a few people also on the multifamily side. You know, they said they meet every week to find out how many new jobs there are. Less jobs, but there's been more inquiry coming in the last few weeks. But a lot of the jobs, the actual purchasing and the covering of items has been going to OSB on a lot of these. That's been their main pressure point and pain point, right? It certainly hasn't been buying Southern Yellow Pine. Overproduction, and I can't speak on for OSB, but I would say that Greg always says this, and this happened last year. I remember when I was at the BCMC show talking about it, and I'm like, hey, what do I talk about? And we said, hey, when OSB does come off of markets like this, it comes off in $50 to $100 chunks, right? And just hearing what people are saying, right now is mills are trying to hold prices and wholesalers are getting out of their inventory. That tells you all you want to know about OSB, in my opinion, right now. So we came back from Montreal, got into the trading market again. Eastern Canadian Mills came out with huge lists. Southern Pine came out on print yesterday below 300 on 2x4. And I'm sure it's traded underneath that. The only way you can do stuff is putting in big bids under the market. And you know, how much do you really want to buy at this point? So the market is in the process of clearing. Matt, you mentioned something about everybody has hope for curtailments coming out. Something will probably happen. We're probably at the fiber cost of production in the South right now. So nobody's making money down there, I'm guessing. And I don't think anybody's making money at many mills at all. Greg, you can speak to this. What's your thought on the production and the cost right now? We're pretty much through everything from what it looks like, right?
The history on that is that, you know, it goes longer and it goes lower than everybody thinks you should. I mean, when people start saying, hey, we need to have production cuts, you know, they don't come as quick as people are saying that because they want the market to bottom out and go higher. Well, that's not the way it works, right?
Right.
And the other thing is we're looking at, you know, timing wise, you're in the middle of April. I think we're in for a rough next 45 to 60 days. Yeah. A yellow pine at today's prices, the net's really close. I mean, if you're buying across the spectrum, sub $300 mil, your downside is only that you'd still be able to buy it at that price a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now. But something is going to have to give on that on the production side, because everybody can lose money for a while. Nobody can lose money forever. On spruce, which I can speak to, there's a lot of disappointment at mills that how quickly this market's cratered back below their cost of production. But there again, you're in a situation where, hey, there's logs. You know, when's their substantive curtailment going to come? It's probably not until June, realistically, yeah. Earliest June, July. That's when you're really going to get that. We're going to have some real volatility in this market, but in the short term, it's going to be a rough ride.
Well, you look at the Southern Pine, talking to a person the other day. It's like, okay, let's set curtailments aside. There's still a lot of production scheduled to come on in the South in the next year. So first, you know, with that in mind, I mean, what's your thought there? Is that going to come on, or what's going to happen there?
Yeah, that we'll see. I mean, like I said, is if you're sub $300 across the board on these items, I mean, those are unsustainable long-term prices, bottom line. They're just unsustainable.
Well, let's think about that. If we look at where the wood's in the pipeline, from everything I've seen this week, single family homes were up, right? So we know the big contractor yards that service the large builders are still busy. We see it, right? Multifamily's down, single family is still plodding along very well. A lot of these yards are running inventories down. They're not stacking it or anything. They're running their inventory down, and the wood is at the end of the pipeline at the production points right now. Mills are taking counters, they're doing what they can to move stuff, but the market has not cleared yet. And I guess my question is, if you're sitting there as a buyer right now at a big yard or buying for anywhere, you probably don't feel any sense of wanting to build an inventory at this point. So my question is, I'm sensing we're actually at that point from our experience in our careers where the market probably is going to start clearing here in the next 30 days. And I don't know if there's going to be more of a washout, but as we were talking today, how much has futures sold off in the last 30 days, Greg?
$100 per thousand.
$100 a thousand. Huge move.
$100 per thousand.
Went from a big premium all the way down where I think we looked at what Western Spruce we heard was trading at today. And it's
on March 12th, the high of the day, which was the high of the market, was 624. And today's low was 521.
Just think about how many mills could have locked in that 600 area. I wonder how many did.
I just want to share with everybody that, you know, when you're hedging and the market goes up, you know, you're like, oh God, I got too much of my lumber hedged.
That's right.
And then when the market goes down like this, it doesn't matter how much you have hedged. You don't have enough. You don't have enough hedge.
But what's the easiest time to sell your hedge lumber when the market's going up?
Right. Well, we were talking about that. You know, I mean, the basis trading hedging works best when cash is really strong and futures trades at a discount. I mean, you know, candidly, right here, this isn't a great position to be in as a basis trader, because it's hard. You can't liquidate your position and you're like, oh gosh, I really want to cover my futures because they're down $100 a thousand, but you know, there's no bid on the cash.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
And what ends up happening is cash bottoms before futures does and runs back up to a premium. Cash kind of keeps coming down after futures bottoms. So it's kind of a double whammy. I'll share with our viewers or our listeners, I'm not that happy right now.
Yeah, Greg, I heard one person scolded us, said, why would you guys come out on a
Only one, I think we heard.
You come out on a national podcast and say to sell nines a month ago, or 3 weeks ago? No, I'm just, you hear stuff like that in a market. When you look at the CME, now it's Hemphill, Doug Fir, Western Spruce, and Great Lakes. So it usually trades down to the lowest common denominator, right? If 16s are trading at 500 Great Lakes, 2x4, 2 and better 16s, which they are.
Why would you say that on a national podcast, Ashley?
Well, 16s are an interesting item to talk about, right? So 16s are trading 500, let's say the 510 Chicago, right? And they generally carry a premium. 14s are probably arguably about the same price.
You know, that's the interesting thing is, like, you know, we're selling 14s for a significant premium to 16s today.
So if 16s are trading at that price, where is the actual cash price Chicago right now? Great Lakes on cars of random.
Well, I mean, you know, like it's somewhere. I mean, random isn't the issue. 16s are the issue, driven heavily by European lumber. And 16s are trading at a discount. So, hey, if you just woke up today and you said, what should I do, right? What you should do is buy all the 2x4 16s you want and sell July futures at 545, right? Because what are they worth? Well, they're worth $20 to $40 more than July futures. So you have the potential to lock in $50, $60, $70 minus the slippage. And damn, I wish I could do some more of those. No, I said that out loud. Yeah,
That's actually good. So you're saying.
So, I mean, like the buy, that's if you have new money and you say, hey, what should I do? How am I going to make money? How do you make money is you buy up all the really cheap 16s that are available to you right now and you sell July futures against it. And you're guaranteed to make some money, maybe a lot of money, right? But you're not going to lose any money, put it that way.
The Europeans have that price model. 16s were really hot, so let's produce as many 16s as possible and ship them over.
Right. And the reason why the trade works to July is you're hoping that over the next 60 to 90 days that things go back normalize, right?
That's to our friend in Austria that listens to us.
Well, no, because the market's sub 500 port.
Yeah. Right now. Yeah, you know, the other thing too, if you look at who some of the featured sellers are, it sounds to me that some of the funds have been selling. Yeah, but if you look at it even in the ag markets, you know, any market, if especially in today's day and age when you have funds just trading momentum sometimes, you can make moves a lot farther to the downside and the upside than makes sense to people in the physical or cash market. So I think that's something we need to be prepared for, right?
The RSI, the market is grossly oversold right here. I mean, the last time we had this kind of RSI was 2008.
I think we could go down because markets always do what hurt the most amount of people the most. And what would hurt the most amount of people would be the market going down to 450. I would say nobody thinks that that's going to happen. It could do it. Now the real question is, we get a bounce for $50. Okay.
Right. The nice thing is if you wash down into the 450s the thing I was looking at, there's a gap at 460, you know, like 469 between 469 and 480. There's a gap on the weekly chart. I'm going, boy, if you wash down there, you could probably get a nice $100 rally from there. I mean, my thing is, like, the market turning around here is like, you know, where can it really go? It might be able to chop. And maybe what you're going to do is you're going to get a thing where you're going to get a bit of a bounce here. Whoa, what's my little thing say on my computer, Ash? Not to do. Do you see it? It says, don't buy the bounce.
What's been always the critical thing that we've always done that everybody errs to the side of? Always buying back too early.
Yep.
Could be right. Look, I just listened to all of us talking and the whole market is tipping so hard to the bearish side right now, right?
It is. It is. And we're really dark for really positive guys.
We usually are.
We're really dark, aren't we?
What's IBD's number one rule?
How you think is everything. Always be positive. Always be positive.
And we could be wrong on all this. The market could have a whole bunch of curtailments come out and we could clear to, in the next week or two and rally. I just don't feel that happening.
There's things that rallied $100 a thousand from the beginning of the year till, you know, the first quarter high. So, I mean, that's not going nowhere. You know, I mean, if you traded that well, you did just fine, right?
You know, I'll call Charles on a Saturday morning, or he'll call me when he's out planting radishes for his deer plots, which I didn't even know was a thing. If anybody doesn't know what we're talking about Charles De La Torre. You know, he's got that market dialed in pretty good. And he was putting out some good numbers on some forward pricing for people on 2x4 Southern Pine studs. If anybody's looking to call him and talk to him about that. There's a little shout out to you, Charles.
Yeah, there you go. And I mean, just like, you know, my thing right now is like multifamily guys that have anything that they're going to go in like 60, 90, 120 days. We, you know, we're looking at this yellow pine prices and saying they're unsustainable. I mean, even if you got to put it in a shed someplace, it's probably worthwhile to do that from a cost standpoint.
I think you're probably right there, but you're going into the time of the year. You definitely want to put it in somewhere where it's under roof, probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to use it until August or September, you know, I mean, yeah, you can't put it outside or else, you know.
Hey, one thing about pine, we're going to have next week, Dustin Gelbert. I hope I said that right, Dustin from Random Lengths is going to be on. I sat down with all the Random Lengths people up in Montreal, had a great conversation with them. They love the podcast. But he's going to he spoke at the convention. He's going to bring some data to us and hopefully on some Southern Pine so we can unpack some of that in the production and talk to him about that.
I mean, we get some great guests, don't we? I mean, we get good people on. I love that.
Matt had some good feedback and so did I that we got to go back. We've been saying this back to video. We'll work on that and get that done. Let's go to Mary Date and Dump. I had a hard time with this one this week. And I had a hard time because I wanted to dump everything. And sometimes when I feel that way, I have to go in and sit down. I sit down in Greg's office. I'm like, I feel like I want to dump everything. And I'm very frustrated with the market. And this was the first day since I've been here in a year that it wasn't as vibrant buying as it usually is. It was a little bit bothersome, but that's just the market we're in. But then I sat down and I'm like, all right, self, what are the items that you would think about in this one? And here's what I came up with the items I want to marry. There are usually three types of items I look at when I'm running an inventory. A items, 2x4 16s, 2x4 104 and 5/8, those. B items that maybe 2x4 12s, other ones that don't move as much, different grades. And then there's C items that you can get a pretty good margin. You don't turn as much a year, but they're all, if you have them on the ground, you can move them. So the things I want to marry are 2x4, 5, 6, and 7 foot number 2. And then any trims in studs like 2x6, 116 and 5/8, 2x4, 94 and 1/8, 2x4, 116 and 5/8, 2x4, 106 and 1/8. I don't want to go in heavy, but I want to have enough of those on the ground. So when somebody calls me, I have those and they generally are a little bit more stable on price. So those are the items I want to marry because I want to make it through. I want to make it through the winter.
That's because you're in Chicago and it's April and winter's another 6 weeks.
I want to, the proverbial winter. The things I want to date, believe it or not, even though we still own some of this, I want to date 2x4, 104 and 5/8 studs that I bid 400 Boston on, right? And generally, when you get down to that level and we're below the 2x4 mill price, they're investment levels, right? I want to buy 400 104 and 5/8 and sell July against it. That's the one thing I like. On top of the pile I already have. And as far as dumping, I thought about it and everybody's tilted so far to the boat. It's hard to dump anything right now. You just manage things, keep moving them off as you can and don't get too negative on things. So that's where I am on Mary Date and Dump this week.
Yeah, it's been a good point, Ashley. You know, hey, dumping, anything that you sell in the market today is kind of a dump price.
Yeah. For sure.
Right. So, yeah. You know, like any sale I make today is kind of a dump price. You know, I'm going to go back and, you know, my Mary right now is 2x4, 16 foot. Based on what I said already, the basis trade on that is the way to go. Or to Matt's point, you know, I mean, it could be an outright purchase also, depending on what your risk profile is. Point is, if you're buying $500, that's mid 350s equivalent random links. And that's probably an unsustainable price level. You know, that having been said, we traded at the ports this time last year in the mid, as low as the low 400s last year. Then, I mean, obviously we know what happened is that price moved up, you know, 50, 100, and then ultimately, you know, up to almost $600. You know, dating, I don't know that there's anything in particular that like quote unquote, you know, like want to date right here. I'm going to kind of let this next week play out and see if, you know, see how deep this sell off. I mean, when I look at a lot of prices right now, you can go in and bid on a lot of things and buy them at pretty steep discounts. And it's like catching a falling knife. You know, I've got some stuff that I paid over the last week or two that I thought was a great value. And now I can buy at the same price or less on an ask basis. Right. So, you know, the market is very oversold here. So we'll see. We need Matt to get back in his trading chair. You know, he's been gone. If he gets back, that could be the turning point.
Yeah. Question. This is for all of us. I was on the plane flying up there, checking my email, had a question from a European producer, sent me this. Said, sorry to bother you on this matter, but I need a brief explanation. Said 4 weeks ago, the lumber word was so positive about almost the entire lumber market, discussing the inning 4 and 6, the market would actually be in. Greg mentioned that those distributors, retailers, pro yards, keeping material on the ground against the trend to let mills keep the stock. I don't know if I said that correctly. Would now finally be rewarded and mills would be able to choose which orders to take. Somehow I did not comprehend that what suddenly caused this optimism to disappear within the last 2 to 3 weeks. Please kindly advise what I misunderstood.
Welcome to the lumber market. Yeah, what are you saying? I mean, I think what I heard him saying was like you guys didn't call the top of the market.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand his question, and that just hits home to how important it is for even European mills or anybody to manage risk with firm numbers or CME. And if you have any questions on that, give us a call. We can talk to you about it.
I mean, you think about it from mid-September until mid-November, the market kind of traded in that like $20 range from like the 480s to the low 500s, and it started to rally from $500 on November expiration and peaked 3 months later, 4 months later, 4 months later at the at 600 620, 630 in March.
Well, listen, I hope everybody had a good time listening. And that concludes this episode of The Lumber Word. Next week, Dustin from Random Lengths is going to be on. That should be a great show. And we'll look forward to having everybody listen then.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Lumber Word. The Lumber Word podcast is dedicated to engaging conversations about the lumber industry, including trading ideas, market trends, and evaluations of overvalued and undervalued assets. We wish to emphasize that the discussions and opinions expressed in this podcast are purely for informational and entertainment purposes. They should not be considered as financial or investment advice. We encourage our listeners to make their own financial decisions, taking into account their unique circumstances and financial goals, and to seek professional financial advice if necessary.